Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Guard above all things, guard your inner self, for so you live and prosper. Bar out all talk of evil and banish wayward words. Let your eyes look straight ahead, gaze right in front of you. Keep a clear path before you, and ever make your footing firm. Proverbs 4:23-26. In this series of lessons, I want to give you instruction on how to apply yourselves in your daily tasks, how to make a success of your work and play, sometimes called recreation and occupational therapy. First thing I want you to consider is that you are a center around which revolves your world. Your world revolves around your own center. That center which is the consciousness of God established in man. Now, when we realize this truth, that it is the consciousness, the creativeness of God, manifesting through the consciousness of man, that gives him creativeness, gives him the power to think, the power to act. But we are unaware of this truth. Therefore, we know that if we are aware of it, we are able to overcome most of our difficulties. We are able to look upon them in the right spirit. Remember, you do not know what your consciousness is. You can analyze everything external to it, but you can never analyze what it is. What consciousness is refuses to be analyzed. Now think it over and you will find then that which is incapable of analysis is unknown. But the consciousness is always analyzing things external to itself. It's always analyzing the relative. And the consciousness can become aware of the relative. That is that thin layer of consciousness which is always working on the outside. There is deeper layers of consciousness, such as the consciousness in the physical, which we will say is the outer consciousness, a consciousness working through the mind, which is another layer of consciousness, but it's the same consciousness. And the deeper layer of consciousness is that which is unknown. The consciousness itself does not know what it is. It only knows that it is. But if you can search deep enough through those layers of consciousness until you reach the deepest consciousness, then you will know what the Christ really is. It knows that he is the Son of God, the expression of the great infinite God. Therefore, it is this. You are a center around which your world revolves. And everything you discern is relative. If you are caught up in the relative, then the whole thing is that you are affected by it. But if you know it for what it is, and you can discern it, then it has no power over you. Now, for the first thing I want you to consider is that you are a center around which your world revolves. The second is that you are also a center of influence and can and do influence others. And this is most important to remember when you use words to convey your thoughts. You influence others by your words. That's why the prophet says, God above all things, your inner self. Bar out all talk of evil and banish wayward words. Thirdly, that you are a center of consciousness with the power to think. You have already arrived at the conclusion that you are life independent of your body. We have seen that clearly and distinctly. Therefore, you are immortal and cannot be destroyed. This great truth only comes after you have realized your place in the scheme of things. Therefore, you have to think back. At the same time, you have to think out. To think back means to say that you think back through the layers of consciousness until you reach that which is unknown. When you think outwardly, you think out through the outer layers of consciousness into the relative world and you begin to know all about it. Then you are not afraid of it. Creator alone lives, and by his living in us we become invincible and cannot be injured, and this fact we have established in our consciousness through divine reasoning. We have seen that divine reasoning is one of the great pillars in our relaxation exercise. In our last course, we recognized that relaxation was one of the main things to enable us to get rid of our troubles. By taking the tension off, the tension created by our reaction to things external to ourselves, our reaction to the relative world, we create those tensions. Those tensions are caught up through the muscles, and affect the brain, affect the cerebellum, which then creates inhibitions and brings about what we know as our old habit patterns. Divine reasoning enables us with relaxation to overcome our difficulties. The last series of lessons was a very important one because it taught you how to relax. What I wish to bring before you in this first lesson is to learn to use words that convey the correct meaning. We are apt to use words that disturb our minds in our daily living and destroy our health and happiness. When I opened the book at Proverbs 4:23 and read these words, guard your inner self, for so do you live and prosper. It was the key to this first lesson. When you then express words, phrases that have terrible meanings for small things, you create in your mind the feeling of these words. Most people are exaggerating all the time with words. A thing that it's ugly, they say it's beautiful, oh, it's lovely. These exaggerations are of no value. In other cases, people will say, it's horrible. It's a disaster. If we had no words to express ourselves, we would have no divorces, no tears, no words spoken in anger, etc. Politicians could not create animosity and separation among the people, no reading of bad news, no hearing of bad news to upset us. So therefore, if we had no words, what a wonderful world it would be. But as we have these words, and we have to learn all about the relative, and to know the relative, then we are able to understand the great meaning of life here, to discern it, to understand it, to become aware of it, but not to be afraid of it. All our experiences build us stronger and stronger. If you have an experience of any kind, you must always learn by it. But the majority of people do not learn by their experience. They're caught up in the effect. And they do not know and think deep enough to find out the cause. When you have found out the cause, then the effect will begin to disappear. We create words so that we can communicate with one another. So one word has led to another until we have so many words, and many have a disastrous meaning in our minds. We who grow up should learn to understand and feel the meaning of words so that we do not throw terror-gripping words at ourselves and others, especially young children. In fact, we should not use these at all except when they are really called for. For instance, take the words ghastly, terrible, horrible, fearsome, ruined, frightful, etc., etc. Have you ever felt the meaning of these words when you say them? We learn to condition ourselves with the spoken word. We respond to the spoken word. We listen to the spoken word. And what a heartache some of these words create. We think with words. We define our problems with words. We scandalize with words. We praise with words. We get comfort by reading of our victories. We get depressed when we read of our reverses. And if you do not understand that you are living in the relative, and you are using words in the relative world, which create much havoc in your minds. Prophet would not have said in the beginning, I read these things, which is a wonderful truth. Guard your inner self, for so you live and prosper. Bar out all talk of evil and banish wayward words. The telephone, the radio, the screen, words organize our lives. We buy, we sell, we worry, we cry, we laugh because of words. Have you ever considered the great importance of words and the use of the proper words in your communication with relations, with your friends, your close family ties, with your business associates? Did it ever strike you, the power of a word, when you get the true meaning of the word in yourself? Then say some words, these horrible words, these terrifying, terror-gripping words. Express them and see what feeling you get from them. What are you going to do then with others? Are you going to cast them at other people? If you do not know how to use a substance lance, you would do great damage. You would probably cut an artery, and the victim would leap to death. If you use it upon yourself, you might inflict great damage. It's the same with words. Many a success and many a failure is a result of the use of words. By using the proper words, you increase your possibilities or you increase your limitations. The inner mind, the inner self, responds to the words you speak. The mind takes up the meaning of the word and becomes there established, bound in the mind. Many people say that they are totally ruined when they are not ruined at all. The fact is then, When a person thinks they're ruined, expresses the words of being ruined, what happens to the individual? We go down and down and down until such time someone catches them by the hair of the head when they're drowning in their own misery and brings them up to the surface and gives them a breath, a new breath of life, understanding. Then they begin to think. And it's when you begin to think clearly and distinctly that you are fearing the relative world, a world that you are here to command, a world that you are here to control and direct, not to run away from or to fear, but one to control and direct. And it is easy for the individual who understands that he can control and direct this relative world. He can discern it for what it is. He will know it has no power over him because he is indestructible. Peace of mind is gained by the proper use of words. Take, for instance, hundreds of cases where many pleasant daydreams are spun round a fiancé, a position in life, a friend. When these daydreams are shattered, there's a feeling of frustration. When the go-ahead signal is turned to stop. These daydreams which you build up in our minds, and we find that they have completely haywire, as the saying is, there's a feeling of frustration. The words you use mean a great thing to you at this moment. Then the go-ahead signal in your life is turned to stop. Then the inhibitions begin. Here we have a collusion. The nervous stimulations now produce nervous inhibitions and send messages to the cerebellum, producing nervous symptoms such as fear, anxiety, nervous collapse, indigestion, and other disorders. Go-ahead signal turns to stop, and you are brought up with a round turn because you do not know the relative world for what it is. You do not think on every one of these things that happened to you as experience. You think of them as disasters. You think of them as terrible, grueling, ruination, I'm done for. And all these other words rise into the mind and you even give breath to them. Think of the most extraordinary thing that ever happened in your life. That is an experience that leads you on to greater things. A big organization doesn't employ a man who has had no experience. He looks for the individual who has had all the experience because he knows what he has already overcome, he will overcome more. How do these people generally interpret themselves to themselves in words? This is how it goes. I am ruined. Life is not worth living. I want to die. First thing is they can't die. It's another impossibility. Because death is but an illusion. I told you the story already about Jesus taking his three disciples up the mountain to pray. Peter, James, and John. And when he prayed, his consciousness was of the inner realm. He was able to think in the deeper layer of his consciousness, where all the power existed. And as he prayed, the whole of his being changed. His body, his clothing was transformed. Why? Transformed from the Son of Man to the Son of God. The power that oozed from him caused the disciples to fall asleep. But he awakened them, touched their eyes, and he said, "Awaken and see the glory of the Lord." And when they awakened, they saw two others there. And Peter said to Jesus, "Who are these two that are with us?" And Jesus said, "This is Moses and this is Elijah. I have brought you up here to show you the real world. But death is an illusion. In the world of shadows, in the world of ignorance, the world that you have belonged to is the world of ignorance, the world of illusion. This is the real world in which you really live. This is the world that I live in. This is my world. I am not of that world. I am of this world. All who know this truth are of this world that Jesus talked about, the world that he belonged to, the eternal existing life. Moses had passed 2,000 years before then, and Jesus must have known Moses and Elijah, otherwise he wouldn't have known them in the mount. And as they spoke to him, they told him of what was forthcoming. Then Peter said to the master, "Master, will I go down and bring three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah?" And the master said, "No." Peter did not realize yet the great significance of the master was really showing them what they had seen. Now we all belong to that world. That's the real world in which we exist. Much more real than this. Our roots are that. The deeper layers of our consciousness exist there. And when we recognize that the deeper layer of our consciousness exists there, we know that this is a relative world, and we know then how to use, how to understand the relative world, how to act, how to control and direct it. Because that is why you are here. No one lives permanently in this world. I am not of this world. I am of the world that Jesus talked about. I am of that world. I am not of this world. And if you can think similarly, you will know that you are not of this world. Call no man your father on earth, for one is your father who is in heaven. But when people come up against those things which they dreamed about, the things that they wanted, and their dreams are not fulfilled, then there is frustration. And they then say these words, "I am ruined. Life is not worth living. I am a failure. I'm too old. I can never start again. I will never trust another person, man, woman, or child." So the words pile up like mountains and stand before them as a means of frustration. Surely you can see the common sense of this thing that I'm showing. But I know that you have never thought of it before. That's why I am making it plain to you, so that you can overcome the relative by choosing the right words. I remember a man who lost $6 million, yet he had another $6 million in the bank, but he said he was ruined, so I tried to blow his brains out. Would you blow your brains out if you had $6 million in the bank? I wouldn't. The whole thing was this, that his whole mind was on the things that he lost, the things that he lacked, not on the things that he had. Count your blessings one by one. That's a good remedy out of a lot of your troubles. What does the word ruin mean? It means damage beyond repair and use. It is a word that has made many a person commit suicide. A person may lose a job, may lose a special friend, or lose some money. Why must people pick on such terror-gripping words for such little things? It's utterly silly. But the damaging effect of the misuse of the word is often the beginning of neurosis and frustration. This is a good exercise for anyone. Ask yourself, what do you mean when you say, I'm ruined? You identify yourself with ruin? What is this I that has been ruined? The I can never be ruined. The I can never be destroyed. The I is indestructible. It's in your mind you have these things. Then in your mind and sickness are one. Sickness is in the mind, and you cannot separate sickness from the mind. They are one and the same thing. But the consciousness is never sick. It is only living in the illusion of sickness. When you get into the deeper layers of consciousness, deeper down, deeper and deeper, then you will find their reality. Then you will know that there is no sickness. And the consciousness of man is the creator of both sickness and health. But in the consciousness of God, there is neither. And when you reach the deeper layers of your own consciousness, you'll find that that is true. The I is invincible. The I is indestructible. Take, for instance, the young woman who said she was ruined because she was guilty, and through it had a nervous breakdown. Naturally, most people identify the I with their body, with their possessions, with their conditions, etc. It is this ignorance where most of the habit lies, and this person does not know any better. You identify yourselves with these things. You identify yourselves with the body, you identify yourselves with your conditions, your possessions, and everything. Do you know that the I itself is but the consciousness of the Supreme Master of the Universe expressing himself through you? And as this consciousness comes up through the layers of consciousness, it comes out to the relative, to the outer. And when you are caught up in this outer, this relative world, you begin to feel it, and it begins to destroy. Words, very often, is the first cause of your trouble. I made an answer to these questions. I said, now look at your body. Looks pretty good to me. Good shape. Your legs look good in these sheer nylons of yours. Your appearance has not been damaged in any way. Now, what about your work? You have a good job. You still have your friends. You have not lost any of them. You have a nice home to live in. You are, in fact, in pretty good shape all around. Now, tell me what part of you is ruined. Well, she said, I am disappointed. But you have been disappointed before, haven't you? Yes, of course. The problem is solved. The word ruin has been broken down. The idea has been destroyed. Now, I said, you're better rid of a man before you're married to him than after you're married, aren't you? So if he jilted you before he married you, he's sure to do the same thing after he married if he tried to jilt you, and if he jilted you now, he would surely jilt you later on. So there you are, I said, now, aren't you in a better position than you were before? So why use such damaging words to cause all this turmoil in your life? From that moment she began to get well. She's now married, happily, and has a lovely family of twins. So you see, here we have the whole thing. Where was she ruined? I don't see any ruin about that, do you? Words, words, words. Do you realize the importance of them in your life? Using words to describe a situation accurately is more than half the battle to overcome your nervous tensions and habit patterns and leads to victorious adjustments. Describe your situation accurately. Think deeply, not only in the superficial surface of your consciousness, on that thin layer of consciousness which we're dealing with the relative world and which most of people live. Ask yourselves now this question. What layer of consciousness do you live in? Find out in your own mind surely now what layer of consciousness you live in. The art of practical thinking is using the right words to accurately state your problem. If you do not know the way to a particular place, you use a map to show you the way. Use words in a similar way, and they will be your map to show you the way. You can save wear and tear on your nerves by doing this, in the little things as well as the big things. In fact, the small things to most people are very much more than the big things. Most people are filled with so many small emotions, all battling against one another. These small emotions, which are the reaction to small things in your life. The stress and strain of a person that can't get the thing that she wants or he wants at the moment. The disappointments on these small things create an emotional stress. And you have hundreds of these little emotions in your body all jingling and battling against one another. Before you know where you are, you're almost on the dust heap of the human race. Why? Because you have not begun to think deep enough to discern these things on the surface, but go deeper than the superficial layer of consciousness and deep down there find that reality and solve your questions there, and you will find your freedom. Is it not, then, when a gigantic, overwhelming emotion takes control of you, when you have something terrific happen to you that sweeps all those small emotions out of sight? You are completely forgotten because this great emotion that sweeps you. Then you begin to get well. People very often who live in luxury want so many unnecessary things. this wanting and craving and disappointment causes all these irritating emotions that destroy the health. It is necessary then to get deeper than this superficial consciousness. Yes, I know. You must say, I have learned the truth, I have learned something about it, but you have not gone deep enough. If truth is on the surface, I say, it's of no value to you. If your truth is on the superficial layer of your own consciousness, which is dealing with the external world only, then I say you have no truth at all. If you will follow me through this series of lessons clearly and distinctly, I will show you a way out of your difficulties. I will show you that your work and your play will become the harmonizing of your whole emotions to bring about a happy state of existence in this life, in this relative world of you. You may read all the books in the world, but if you do not practice this getting deeper into the deeper layers of the consciousness, you will never know what real reality really means to you. A man who uses a cuss word because someone cuts in front of him when he's driving his car and they catch up with him, push him onto the curb and pick a fight and get a black eye into the bargain. Is it not better to say that people might have cars and driving licenses? So go on your way rejoicing with your nerves and face intact. Pick the right words that will keep you well balanced. Pick the calm words, the right word, the accurate word, the word that helps to make the brain and body work properly. I know a woman who looks into her wardrobe of fatly beautiful dresses and says, not a thing to wear, I'm dowdy. I want a new dress for every occasion. No wonder she feels dowdy. But yet she looks very chic in any of her dresses, although she does not think so. So her nerves are on edge because she picks the wrong word. I am dowdy. She puts on the dress and she begins to look around and see, well, I've worn this several times now. People can't see me in this dress twice. I must get something new. I'm dowdy. Think of the word. A patient came to me some time ago. She said, Doctor, do you think I have cancer? The thought of cancer makes me morbid, makes me shudder. I said, why say it? Why think it? You haven't any cancer about you? I assure you that is true. Now go home and think no more about it. And stop saying the word cancer. The next time she came to see me, she was quite happy and soon got over her trouble. Choose your words with skill, for some are like dynamite. They blow up in your face. Therefore, caution and skill is necessary. Learn more about words and how to use them for your health and well-being, as well as the health and well-being of others whom you contact, greatly depends upon this. Always remember the proper use of words is essential to your health and happiness. What a wonderful thing the prophet says. And the more I read this, the more I know that the prophet had understood that what he said here is nothing more than 20th century language. It's telling you, helping you not to have ulcerated stomachs, palpitation of the heart, skin troubles, and all the other things that people suffer from because of our emotional stresses created by words we say. The words we attach to little things of no consequence. So it says, guard above all things your inner self, for so you live and prosper. Bar out all talk of evil and banish wayward words. The purpose of these lessons is to show you how to apply yourself in your daily living, to point out the things which make and mar your health and happiness and success, to show you how to control and direct all things intelligently and wisely. Therefore, this lesson on words is of great importance, and you must think deeply about it. Do not just skim the surface, please. Think about this now. When you go home tonight, think deeply about it. Most people do not realize the power of the spoken word. Words are like music when spoken wisely. They create beauty and rhythm and charm the mind. Then let us learn to build the words that bring to us the secrets of the heart of God. For they are a joy to the ears and bring health, happiness, and abundance. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't you see what I mean now? You can use words to build, construct a strong mind, an intelligent mind. You can use words that will help you to overcome these relative things that come up in every day of your life. They become experiences. Your experiences become your stepping stones. Your words are like magic. These words are magic to me. I know they are magic. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was God. And that Word was made flesh. There is the deeper layer of consciousness. In inspiration, there is two elements. We know perfectly well it's all the various books of the Bible were written by men. Two elements were in the writing of those books. What were those two elements? The human and the divine. According to the element that was greater, so is the inspiration. If the divine was greater, then there was more inspiration. If the human was greater, then there was less inspiration. If the layer of consciousness was opened into its deeper self, then you would find the divine rising to the surface. But if the individual who was writing and his layer of consciousness was on the surface, then he would have no inspiration. That is the great and wonderful truth that I want to show you. And people do not think. People are so caught up in the fact that the Bible itself was written by God, that God came down and wrote every one of those words in the Bible, and every one of them are true. You've only got to read some of the Old Testament and see all the devil there in man. God never said to Saul, go out and kill this and kill these people and destroy these people. That was the human element in the individual who was speaking, not the divine element at all. When we come to the teachings of the Master, there we see the deeper layer of consciousness open wide, where he recognizes himself as the Son of God. Call no man your father on earth, for one is your Father who is in heaven. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. What a wonderful thing it is to understand the true nature of the prophets. To see the great prophet, the past Moses, looking down the centuries, seeing and saying in his own words, O Lord, will there raise up a prophet like unto me? It was revealed unto Moses what would take place. He was a great seer. When Jesus came 2,000 years afterwards, he knew that he was the prophet that Moses spoke of. And when we understand Moses, we understand Jesus. But we see that Jesus had taken the truth further, great deal further into the unity of mankind, the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. There was true inspiration. How did he get it? Not by living on the surface, but by going into the quiet places and praying, deep contemplation and meditation. Use words that delight the mind to become mental shrines that will live forever. For in these we have the wisdom of the past in the ever-present as hope for the future. Let our words be living messengers that will reach throughout the ages, and the repeating of them will give others joy and happiness, good health and abundance. It is not these words of mine that I speak give you upliftment. These words of mine charge your being with health and strength and vitality. Charge your mind with inspiration, and it gives you a feeling of unity with the whole universe. In Proverbs 15:4 we read, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And in Proverbs 15:23 we read, a man hath joy in the answers of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it. And in Proverbs 18:20-21 we read, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruits of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. Proverbs 14:3. Now listen within yourselves and know the source of the word, which is the rapier of the thought. Then you will know that in the power of the tongue is life and death. Benediction. O Sacred Heart, thy words are balm to my soul. I listened while the waves beat upon the shore, and in them I hear thy voice calling to me. O dearly beloved, let my words be moulded in thy bosom, so that only love shall be carried on their wings. I should speak. Let me hear thee first, O beloved. Then my words shall be as music to the ear. O divine mother of mine, when I utter thy name, I think of the lotus flower in all its beauty and fragrance. Teach me, divine mother, to speak the right word always, so that they may spread joy and happiness everywhere, forever and ever, divine mother.